It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Output not so good.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning and happy Friday from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Around the world, the economic fallout is affecting the making of things, as in manufacturing, as in productivity, as in making money on those items. The Institute for Supply Management says American manufacturing activity is at its lowest level in nearly three decades, and the number's been falling for five straight months. Manufacturing in Europe, India, and China all fell sharply last month. President-elect Barack Obama and congressional leaders are getting together Monday. They're set to discuss Mr. Obama's stimulus package worth hundreds of billions of dollars, but some Republican leaders are already hesitant to come on board. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Republicans are worried that Democrats could try to increase the size of the stimulus plan to close to $1 trillion. And Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has warned that his party won't simply roll over or offer a rubber stamp. The Obama plan will likely include massive infrastructure spending, an extension on unemployment benefits, as well as aid to states facing increased costs for services like Medicaid. But interests as diverse as zoos, aquariums, and U.S. steelmakers are lining up for a piece of stimulus pie.
They're looking for the opportunity.
Ryan Alexander is president of Taxpayers for Common Sense.
That's their job. They're trying to protect or advance their industries.
American steel executives told the New York Times they'd like the bill to include a Buy American clause. And the U.S. Conference of Mayors put forward a plan that includes $1.5 million for a water slide in Miami. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Remember we told you GMAC is getting bank bailout money to keep it afloat? Because of that deal, it can no longer have exclusive rights to offer low-interest loans to GM car buyers. In a filing this morning before the Securities and Exchange Commission, GMAC said the federal government will get 5 million preferred shares that'll pay 8% interest. That's in exchange for the $5 billion the government is offering it to avoid bankruptcy. Light trading on this first business day of the new year, but investors are looking on the bright side. Markets are up across the board by more than 1.5%. The Dow at this hour up about 143 points. The NASDAQ up 25. The S&P 500 up 12. Again, all about 1.5% or more. Some Asian markets were still closed for the holiday, but the Hang Seng shot up 4.5%, and European shares were up between 1% and 2%. Years ago, CDs became the new albums. Now, it's digital music, online music, that's the new CD. iTunes and other internet-based music stores say sales soared 27% over 2007, while CD sales slumped. Still, retailers say many consumers now only buy one song at a time, not full CDs or albums like they used to. So overall, music sales were down from last year. Here we are in a traditionally bad month for Broadway, but this year the white lights could be dimmer and less profitable. Andrea Gardner explains.
In light of falling ticket sales, Broadway producers are closing the curtain on a number of plays and musicals. Among them, one-time box office hits like Monty Python's Spamalot and the teen musical Spring Awakening. Even many lower-budget road shows around the country are feeling the pinch and are being forced to cut costs. Broadway is hoping for a stronger second act this spring. Gordon Cox covers theater for Daily Variety. He says it'll depend on investors, and right now, they are wary.
They're more comfortable holding on to their money right now than they are opening up their wallets to invest in what is always a risky theater production. And so the act of fundraising has become more difficult, even among those investors who regularly invest.
Shows currently attracting investors have attached big-name celebrities to guarantee ticket sales, or they have smaller budgets, so even a modest run might be enough to recoup initial investments. I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivein.com.
Most houses of worship rely on tithing and plate passing for programs, even for survival. But some are finding the money coming in a little lacking. That's led to an increase in bankruptcies and foreclosure of some churches. And those that haven't gotten to that point are finding new ways to get by. Kate Archer Kent of Red River Radio has more.
Hundreds of people rely on St. John's United Methodist Church for the basics, like food, shelter, and medical care.
Has the meal started yet?
Yes, sir.
That's Reverend Rudy Rasmus. St. John's charity programs cost millions of dollars. Most of that comes from his 9,000 followers. He says a handful of them are rich, like pop star Beyonce Knowles. She gave more than $4 million to build the church's transition apartments for Houston's homeless. But the vast majority of congregants are working class. Rasmus says they give less than $100 a year.
That's a lot of folk scraping by, doing what they can, putting what they can in the collection plate. Churches are feeling the pinch.
California-based Barna Group studies trends among Christian denominations. A new survey finds churches across the country are likely to collect about $4 billion less this holiday season. George Barna.
If I were a leader of a church, I'd be very concerned because the fourth quarter of every year is the time when you tend to try to make up for some of the deficit spending that took place earlier in the year.
But if history is any guide, churches should feel little impact from the recession. Patrick Rooney is with the Center on Philanthropy at Indiana University.
This is almost the one subsector that seems to be almost recession-proof. And our research has shown that religious giving is not very much affected by changes in wealth.
That research is little comfort at St. John's United Methodist Church as Houston's economy begins to mirror the rest of the country. Rasmus sees his food lines growing longer.
What we're finding is people are hungrier than ever.
At the same time, St. John's is tightening its belt. Weekly donations dropped into the collection plate are so far holding steady, but Rasmus is expecting a decrease as the recession continues. He's planning to scale back the budget for his charitable programs by at least $300,000. In Houston, I'm Kate Archer-Kent for Marketplace.
Once again, the market's up more than 1.5% on average. The numbers and more at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.